Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast,
Welcome. Where
we discuss all things embarrassing. We tell you our stories. You tell us your stories. You're laughing with us. You're crying with us. You're cringing with us. It's all the things.
Yep.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. All right. So I'm going to start us off. This next story comes from Angel in Bakersfield, California. Mm-hmm. Angel writes, in 2011, I got a boob job. I had just started dating this guy, and he wanted me to send him pictures of my new boobs. Wow. Ooh. See, back then, I felt like people were just sending, you know, those
boob
naked
shots?
Pics, those boob shots, those dick
on
pics.
On their, like, Blackberries.
Willy-nilly. Yeah,
on their Blackberries.
It was happening. I was a little nervous, but they also did look really good, and I kind of wanted to show them off.
Nice.
They were still healing, and I wanted to edit the photos a little bit before I sent them to him. Just change out the lighting a little bit, blur some stuff out. Understandable.
Yeah.
I wasn't a pro, and I didn't know how to use Photoshop, so I went on this new app that my friend told me about. I took so many photos, and finally I was happy with one that I wanted to send him, so I edited on the app, and I sent it to him. The pic had my face in it, but I trusted this guy to be discreet.
No.
That's your first mistake.
You can never.
It's your first mistake.
With your face.
Yeah. If you're sending those nudies, people, you're sending those
That's
nudes,
gonna,
leave the face
knock,
out.
Knock,
leave the face
me.
Out. Leave any distinguishable tattoos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Leave all those things out. Okay.
Yeah. Just, you know, you're a headless boob.
You're a headless pair of boobs. Okay. Well. She didn't do that. Let's see what happens. Okay. He loved the photo and told me he couldn't wait to see them in person. The next day, my cousin called me. I didn't answer because I was at work, but I thought it was odd because although we are close, I don't talk to her that often because we live on opposite coasts. The day after that, my aunt called me and I missed the call. Now I was becoming concerned that someone had passed away in the family. I called her back and the first thing she said was, Angel, why did you post a picture of your boobs on the internet? You better take that down before your mom sees it. Oh, good looking out, aunt.
Who is this guy?
I said, what are you talking about? I immediately thought the guy that I was dating must have posted it somewhere, but I didn't know how my family even found it so fast. Were you hacked? My aunt asked. Someone posted it on your Instagram account. I said, what do you mean? Isn't that just a photo editing app?
Oh, she did it. It was her fault. It wasn't this guy.
Explained to me that no, it was not a photo editing app. It was more like Facebook for photos and that my 100 friends and family could all see the pic. I immediately took the picture down, which had several likes at this point,
and was
horrified that I had unintentionally shown my boobs to my friends, family, and coworkers that were following me. My account wasn't private, so who knows who else saw them. It took a long time to live that one down.
That is amazing. Oh, I'm so glad that story didn't go the other way, where it was like, the guy did it, and it was all, you know, she did it by accident.
And who were the likes? That's what I want to
know. I know. It's her sister. It. Like,
who also was liking it.
If you're her mom, like, you know, she's sending that picture to someone of her boobies.
Her face is in there. Oh, you can't deny it.
Nope.
You can't deny it.
You can't be
it.
Like, I was totally hacked.
Instagram's those aren't my
safe.
Boobs.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
I mean, Instagram
great.
Was different back then. Everybody was using those, like, really crazy filters. But also, like, you had to hit post. I guess maybe she thought it was just like her own thing, like nobody could see it.
Right. She's like, these look really good.
She has 100 followers.
On my feet.
Bye.
Can you imagine, have you ever done that, like by accident posted something to like all
I
your followers?
You know what? I have accidentally posted. So I do feel like it can happen.
It's common.
I've hit the wrong button before and accidentally posted, but I usually realize it right away and take it down.
Right.
But I guess she didn't even understand that was the kind of app. That's...
Yeah, it was like her little nephew or something. You know what I mean? Like someone that's just, you know, you're never supposed to see that.
That
is embarrassing. That's really
that
good.
Is. That's a good one.
So this one that I'm going to tell you is from my life. I feel like.
You got so many good ones, girl.
I don't know. Hopefully this is a good one. This is a doozy. So when I lived in New York, I wanted to be in some theaters, like explore the fringe New York theater scene. And I went.
Did you take a dead dog on a bus?
that was totally happened to me. I cannot believe I'd said. I cannot
Did you
believe.
Take a dead dog on a bus in a suitcase? Did that happen to you? Was that you?
Totally my story. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I went and auditioned for this part, and the part was juicy. It was for no pay, but it was juicy. I played like a really mean mom.
Ooh, I love that.
Right? Mean and villain and ruined her daughter's life. And her daughter was the one who wrote this play. And
was it really about her mom?
It was about her mom, and her mom died of cancer.
Oh my God,
funny
that's
at all.
Horrible.
It's terrible. terrible.
She was I hate you, Mom, and this is how I dedicate
basic this is how I immortalize you.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what was kind of funny about it was is that there was a scene in the play where I'm like dead on stage. I remember we had just been in the play. It was sort of this back and forth with a teddy bear, and it represented her pulling her youth towards her, and I pulled it away. And it was like I was her mother, like ruining her life.
So you were tug of war wrestling with the teddy bear on stage.
And then I fall slow motion to the ground dead. And then she.
So you die because you fell, or you fell
because you died. It's like an interpretive dance piece. Okay. You know, okay. It was all about the New York Fringe.
Love it. Now, is this off Broadway?
So this is like nowhere near Broadway.
This is around the corner from Broadway.
Rehearsal at like the food court in a mall.
This is far down the street from Broadway.
So I'll tell you where we put it on, but it's like that's the reveal. That's the embarrassing part. So I'm getting slowly to this embarrassing moment when I died on stage and she yelled at me as I'm dead on stage. And she's like over me. I think she like had her foot on my back and was like, "You are a terrible person." Wow. And I'm like dead.
So this play is her therapy. It's basically like her therapy that she's acting out in real life. All the things that she wanted to say
to her mom.
To her dead mother.
But we were putting on this play for happy hour at a bar. That's where it was.
That is very
nowhere
dramatic.
Near Broadway. It was a happy hour bar.
That's not happy. That's sad hour at the bar.
100%.
That's depressing. Alcohol is a depressant.
No. These people show up and they're like, "Oh, there's theater here. Oh my gosh, two for one. Yeah. What is this? Improv? Is it a magician?"
I'll take a side of fries and a side of murder. Thank you. Goodbye.
It's basically like you get a side of cancer and neglect with your fries. So enjoy. God bless. And the director, who was also this gal, was like, "You should die facing the audience. We don't want to upstage ourselves. We don't want to turn our back to the audience ever." And I was like, "I know." She's like, "So you're going to die with your face facing the audience." And I'm sorry, but have you ever seen a dead body? Not in real life. I just mean like, have you ever watched TV and there's like a dead body on TV and you're like, "Are they breathing?" Like,
when you do see them breathing, it's the worst. Yeah. You're like, "Oh, come on."
Or their eyes are fluttering. And you're like, so the whole time I'm holding my breath as she's getting louder and louder, being like, "You are terrible, am I?" And then just stomping around. And I had to, Katie, I had to open my eyes just a little tiny bit because I wanted to see what the reaction was for these people in happy hour watching this. And as soon as I opened my tiny little eye slit, I felt terrible because these people's faces were like, they were like horrified. They were like, and like one girl was like sneaking off to get her two for one. Like it was just so funny. So I started laughing, bust out laughing.
I mean,
and
that's then, hilarious to see this like person in the middle. You're the dead mom on stage who has died of cancer with your daughter screaming at you. And then you just slightly open your eye
and then
to
I
the
audience. Laughed and turned my head to the back.
You turned it into a comedy.
Yeah. And it was automatic, like, sigh from the actress. She was just like,
she's like, "And now you've disappointed me again, mother, in your death of deaths that I have written for you." You couldn't even get that right, could you? You were really playing. You nailed that mom role. You got into character and you disappointed her yet again.
Now that I think about it, I don't feel embarrassed because I'm thinking that the audience thinks that that was intentional, that I was like, even in death, going to come like ruin her play.
I will ruin your life.
So much better. Oh my gosh, I feel that was my therapy.
Did you only do it one time?
100%. I could not. I was not invited back.
You're fired.
Yeah, she was like, "You ruined my."
So how long did you rehearse for this?
Well, it was like one read through, kind of like block it out.
And then now we're doing
and
it.
And then it was like, "We're going to go do it." And I didn't realize it was happy hour, but at this like bar venue.
That's amazing.
And it was happy hour and it was terrible. It was terrible. I don't think she's going to know who remember it or anything. So I don't feel bad that she might hear this. But.
Oh, she's going to remember. She talks to you about her therapist weekly still. She's like, "This woman playing my mom.
She ruined my therapy."
She brought it all back.
Yeah, so that was embarrassing for sure.
That's a good story.
Boop, okay.
This next story comes from Chris in Alaska.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know anyone from Alaska. Okay. When I was 12 years old, my dad took a job in a remote town in Alaska and we had to move. I grew up in a bigger city and this was a really big change for me and I protested it. It didn't matter, though, because ultimately I still had to go and start middle school as the new kid. Oof, oh, middle school.
That's worse when you don't know anyone.
Yeah, middle school is hard if you know people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not knowing anyone, like,
you have no protection.
That's horrible. We moved at the end of the summer, so my parents tried to take me to events and activities in the local town so I could meet some other kids. At one of these events, I developed an instant crush on the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen, Veronica.
Aww.
Of course, her name was Veronica. To my surprise, she actually thought I was charming and funny and seemed to flirt with me back. When her parents told her it was time to leave, I was too nervous to ask for her number, so I hoped I'd see her again. Unfortunately, I didn't run into her again for the rest of summer. I was so nervous to start at the new school, and I didn't really know anyone. I'd made a couple of friends, but we weren't super close yet. This town was so remote that we had to take an hour and a half bus ride to the nearest school. That's crazy.
What?
An hour and a half. On the first...
That's 3 hours.
That's
a
crazy.
Day.
That's crazy.
For your education.
What time you get on the bus at, like, 6 a.m.? Wow.
I just wouldn't go to school.
Just be homeschooled. On the first day, I walked onto the bus feeling sweaty and scared and trying to figure out who to sit next to. Most of the guys and girls were already paired up and it wasn't looking good for me. Suddenly, I heard, "Chris!" And I looked up to see Veronica waving to me from the back of the bus. "You can sit here," she said, and smiled. I was so relieved and excited to see her and headed back to sit next to her and her friend. We all talked and laughed for about 10 minutes. Veronica's laughter was the best sound in the world.
Oh my God, this guy's in love.
It's so cute. Suddenly, I felt like I had to sneeze. I let out a huge sneeze, which was jarring and a little embarrassing, but I tried to continue on with the conversation. Suddenly, Veronica and her friend shouted, "Ew!" simultaneously and pointed to my leg. I had shot out the grossest, biggest snot rocket on my leg. And I was completely humiliated. That is horrible.
He saw her beautiful laughing face change to like a horrified grimace.
He didn't even know what happened. Oh my God.
Oh.
That's awful.
That's gross.
We've all snot rocketed. We've all been there.
They were like snot bloody nose.
They scrambled to get away from me and everyone was laughing and pointing. That's a nightmare. That's like a play.
That is. He just needs to do that at happy hour.
That is horrible. I didn't know what else to do and I just wanted it to go away. So I smeared it off with my hand, was equally disgusting.
Because then he's got it on his hand.
Oh my God.
And everyone knows.
Gross. All right. Sorry, buddy. After a few minutes.
We're supposed to be supporting
you. Yeah, we're supporting you. It's disgusting and we feel bad for you.
You got to bring Kleenex.
After a few minutes of being made fun of, they realized we still had an hour and a half to go and came back over and sat down. Fortunately, I was funny and I was able to charm my way out of this disastrous situation. Veronica ended up being my first girlfriend and we dated for 2 months, which is like 2 years in middle school time. That's a comeback. That's a comeback kid.
Yeah.
Comeback kid.
Well, because what are they going to do? Stand in the aisle for an hour and a half all the way to school?
That could have earned him like a middle school nickname. He could have been Snot Rocket.
Oh, he
like,
could have been. Yeah. He could have been like Snotback.
Loogie Lewis. He could have just had some kind of gross nickname.
Oh,
he's lucky. He's lucky
because
he was funny.
In middle school, something like that is so much
that'll
bigger.
Ruin you. It's
than,
so much bigger
than it is in high school or even junior high.
Well, who knows how old this guy is, but the fact that he's still carrying that with him is so sad. And that's what middle school does to us.
You remember?
You know? You do.
My gosh.
It's so traumatic.
Never
but now you
forget.
Hear it and you're like, it's not even bad. Like the stories we're telling, we're like, oh, who cares? You got some snot on your leg?
Well,
no big deal.
Well, that's the whole point is that everyone's gotten snot on their leg.
You've got to share these traumas because it heals you. But seriously, no, like with the things that we've read, like it doesn't even sound that bad. But you know this person has carried this shame with them for like their whole life. Like it was the worst thing that happened to them. And we're like, yeah, some snot on
you
your
know
leg.
What? This might bring him back together with Veronica.
Maybe
they both listen to this.
They're going to get back together.
They're like, let's take a bus ride.
Hey, Veronica. If you are thinking about that snot rocket from back in the day,
not good.
Give him a call.
Not a good promo.
Maybe he's still available.
Oh my gosh.
Alaska.
Where you take a bus for 3 hours a day to school.
Where you take a bus and you get some snot.
I want to like have a show where we just talk about like weird facts. Like Alaska, you can take, well, I mean, there's plenty of places all over the country. You take long bus rides to get where you need to go.
People have to do things. Probably like Nebraska, right? Or like the Midwest somewhere, like Iowa.
Texas.
There's nothing going on there. The Dakotas? What's in the Dakotas?
Oh
nothing.
My gosh.
They're taking bus rides for four hours over there.
A lot of land.
If you live in the Dakotas. You don't have to take a long bus ride, let us know.
Yeah.
Please. We're standing by. Episode. We're standing by waiting to see.
Standing by. I'm not going
What
home.
Happens in the Dakotas with the bus rides to school? Please let us know.
Oh my gosh. That's so sweet though that he remembers that. I feel like I remember a lot more from my middle school years than I do from like yesterday.
They're so traumatic. Yeah. Everything that happens is so much bigger. Yeah. And kids are so cruel and mean. And the fact
Nobody
they all pointed and ran and laughed away
school.
Like that is traumatizing. Yeah, that's the worst.
And the slow reveal of just a big old Louis on his leg. That sucks.
Not
That's
even knowing it happened, and you're just like laughing still, like everything's great. Yeah. Ha ha ha. Oh, wait, what?
Wait, there's not.
I'm outcast. My God. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. Look, I thank you for everyone who was writing to us and telling us their stories. It's really, really sweet and like really vulnerable and just pretty fun too. Because,
we love it.
Takes all the air out of it. So, this is another story from my life.
I love your stories.
I have to say that this was a way that I quit a job that is so embarrassing. And it is so embarrassing. So I was a hostess in Beverly Hills when I first got out of school. It was my day job. You need a day job as an actor. There's no way.
Beverly Hills, by the way, if you don't know, is like the worst place to work.
Oh my God.
It's the worst people. It's horrendous. I've worked in Beverly Hills too. It's a nightmare.
Off of people's faces in that place. And
just.
It's like, don't meet your heroes. It was full of celebrities that came in there doing, you know, every day something different happened that was like a nightmare. Like, you know, my manager there gave me a blue pill once because she said I looked quote unquote drag ass. I was like, oh. And she gave me a blue pill and I was like running around the restaurant sweating with my
she
heart
gave
pounding.
You Viagra?
She basically gave me Viagra.
She gave me a Viagra.
I don't know what it is.
How old were you?
Pill. I was like 23.
Oh my God. Here, little child, take some pills.
Karma's a bitch because her hair caught on fire on one of the, at one of our staff meetings. So, and that made me feel good.
What?
She just leaned in too close to the candle. Her hair caught on fire. It was like, that's for the blue pill. Bitch.
You've got a story about your hair catching on fire. Email us at beatredpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, that's her own Beat Red moment. So yeah, it was just like a crazy place. And, you know, like I was covered in ketchup all the time. And I was still at the part of my life where I would sometimes get recognized.
You were
the
ketchup marrier?
Everyone.
And it was just everywhere.
Yeah. Do they even know what that is? Okay, when you have to marry ketchups, you have to put one ketchup bottle on top of the other and like let the ketchup from the other one drop into the bottle below. It's just...
I don't think legally you're even supposed to do that anymore.
Terrible,
it's
yeah.
It's pretty unsanitary.
It's really
nasty,
unsanitary. That's what all we did.
That's what restaurants do.
Yeah.
FYI.
So... yeah, I just was having a terrible time. I missed a million auditions because I was wiping down windows and like didn't want to quit my job because I needed it. And so, but the thing that kept me going there was I wrote a manifesto that said Viva La Revolution and it spilled the tea about that place. Like in it, it was like everything was in there that was like, I called the owner a horse face. I outed one of the managers for cheating on his wife there. I outed another manager for stealing from the owners. There were like bartenders selling Coke out of that place.
Every bartender is selling Coke out of every place.
Yeah, but I was like, like I was just typing away into the night, Hollywood night, like, ooh. And I like put it in my apron.
So you knew you were going to quit and you're like, this is what I'm going to do. And blow it up.
I just kept
you just
it
did
in
this
there
for yourself
so that I could
have.
Like rub it like a genie, like so basically I'd be like I like another nanny like broke a glass in aisle three, like I'm gonna rub my
Note
manifesto
to self, don't piss
so
off
perverted.
Mary Kate.
Exactly, because I will record
she will
what
manifesto
you've done.
Your ass
I will manifesto your ass.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it was just like, you know, it was just there as like kind of a support. Like it just sort of like a, ooh, like put a little gleam in my eye when I knew, you know, just knowing I had it.
I know your secrets and I can use them if I want to.
Yeah, like I can pull it out of my pocket and be like, here, just take it. I quit at any time, right? Mm-hmm. But I never was going to do that because of all the incriminating stuff that was in there. But it did feel good to have, whatever.
Okay.
So
I love that for you. That's like petty on a level that like I've never gotten to and I genuinely appreciate it.
It is petty, but it's also so satisfying, Katie.
Totally.
Because you're just like, you don't own me, people. Like, you know, you're, right. I'm not going to be covered in ketchup. This is not who I am. Like, this is what I'm doing, you know? And I have a manifesto. Yeah. So anyway, one day it fell out of my pocket and I didn't know it fell out of my pocket. And it was like on the ground when our manager Pedro came in and Pedro picked it up. And in it, I had gone a little far on Pedro too and like outed that what he was up to with that place.
Ooh.
And I just remember, I came into work and I was like chipper, like wiping down windows, like knocking over, you know, sugar caddies for that OCD waitress that like hated that. And I was
your
like,
name on this
her
paper anywhere?
Yeah, 100%. It was like,
so you were like, this Mary is Kate by Shell Mary Hart, Kate.
Viva the revolution.
No, you did not. Yeah. You put your name on it? That's yeah. amazing.
It was like, because I was like, you know, if I ever have to burn it down, here it is. This is here. I'm doing this. I have the power over you guys.
That
but I never
is
was
so
gonna
good.
Do that. But right. but I could, but I never could. Wanted to. So anyway, Pedro came up to me. He's like, I'm so sorry you're leaving. And I instantly was just like flashed with cold water. Like, what? Something's really wrong here. What? And I reached into my pocket to like, you know, for the well-worn paper that was not there anymore and it had fallen out and he knew everything and everyone knew everything about everyone. And I said, what do you mean? Like trying to cover it up. Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And he was like, Viva the revolution. I was like, oh.
So in the paper, did you say, when I quit, this is what you need to know? Or
so, like, I'm quitting because.
So he really did think that you did yes. quit, though, because you said, when I'm quitting.
And
you left it like he thought you left it on purpose for him.
He not only thought that I was quitting, he thought that I would just drop it on the ground for him to find like a jerk. And then I would then come in the next day like a crazy person.
I was like eating a brownie in the back like, hey, everybody. They're like, we read the manifesto.
Like, that's honestly so iconic. Bad. That's
it was
so
terrible.
Good.
It was terrible. So yeah.
So what happened? You were like just collected your belongings and were.
It was
did
like,
you did you salute on the way out?
No.
Did you? It was like, did you raise your fist I'm and say just, like, yes, we did it? Like, just so you know,
we being me getting fired.
I know. I love it. You're like, now everyone
like,
knows
she's schizo. Who's we?
Everyone knows.
No, I was sort of like, I'm just gonna. Got my stuff. I got it. And then I just ran to the car and I never went back ever. I didn't even get my last paycheck.
Can we go eat there? Are they still open?
No. They are still open.
That's amazing.
And I feel like Pedro still works there.
Okay, we got to go.
Yeah. No, I'm banned for life.
They're going to hear this.
You can go.
They're going to hear this and they're going to know.
You wear a disguise.
Yeah, let's wear disguises. Let's just wear disguises and go. We'll wear big shades. Nobody pays attention because it's Beverly Hills. So.
And then when they tell us
we'll
we
wear
can't
wigs
come in,
and big
I'll be
glasses,
like, do you know
it'll be
who I
fine.
Am? Yeah. Okay, fine.
Excuse me, I wrote the manifesto, just so you know. It's Viva. Probably hanging on the wall in the back. They probably framed that shit. It's probably like...
They probably like, got together and burned it when they never, ever thought
like,
about it
like, this is the most iconic resignation
like,
we've ever seen.
How did she know?
And she just threw that shit on the floor. And then she came back the next day. What?
You
she
think?
Is so hardcore.
Oh, I'm like a legend there.
Yes,
I'm like their Che Guevara.
Yeah, you totally are.
Oh, my God. Okay, I have like a t-shirt that says like, Free Mary Kate.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's, okay. That's what happened after you left. You just didn't know.
Huh. I started a revolution.
You started a revolution.
Okay. Yeah.
Pedro walked out after
we need
you.
To,
he
like,
doesn't work there anymore.
We need to like hockey stop up to that place in a like on a motorcycle.
Yeah. It needs to happen.
All right.
All right. We're going to do it. This next story is by Monica S. in Chicago. And she writes, one of my oldest friends, Jen, is getting married and she just had her bachelorette party. We're in our mid-30s, so it wasn't a cheesy bar crawl kind of party. There was a lot of planning involved. Girl, I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
Been there. And I had to communicate with some of her other friends from college and work that I don't know that well. One of her friends, we'll call her Jill, is a total bitch. Don't you hate that when your friends' friends aren't cool? That's the worst. Like, that's happened before. And I'm just like, oh, when your friends' friends are bitches, like, why are you friends with this person?
Yeah.
But some, you have those, like, lifelong friends sometimes that you're just like, I've just known them forever or from wherever. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. And she was super rude to me in emails and the few times that I'd met her. I don't know if she's threatened because I'm one of Jen's oldest friends, but I always tried to be nice to her anyway. We wanted Jen to have some surprises, and we planned a dinner for her at one of her favorite restaurants, designed a menu with her favorite dishes, and custom ordered a specialty cake for her, too. I want to see that cake.
Me, too. I want to eat some right now.
I want some cake. After dinner, we planned to go to one of her favorite clubs to dance. All she wanted was a fun and kind of mellow evening with her closest friends. As soon as we sat down to dinner, Jill started ordering rounds of tequila shots for everyone.
No.
I was super annoyed because I hate tequila, but I didn't feel like I could turn it down because everyone else seemed fine with it. Ugh, tequila,
pressure,
girl, that's your
down.
First mistake. Tequila makes me take my clothes off. It's a bad situation.
Tequila makes me sprain my ankle.
Tequila. Tequila makes me do some shit. Okay. Yeah. Stay away from the tequila. Anyway. Okay. One round would have maybe been okay, but after the fourth round, plus the champagne.
Jill, no.
I was completely wasted. Jill, who had started the shots bullshit, was also wasted. And Jen thought it was best that we both took an Uber back to her place while the rest of the group went on to the club. Oh, that's sad. And you're stuck with
they
Jill.
They shut it down?
Begrudgingly, I agreed to be trapped with my nemesis because Jen felt so strongly about it. As soon as we got in the Uber, I began to feel sick.
No.
I rolled the window down and was feeling super proud of myself for getting all the puke outside, minus what was in my hair, when Jill screamed, "Ew, you're disgusting. Get away from me." She rolled her own window down and put half of her body out of the car to avoid me. What a bitch.
Wait, she wasn't throwing up? She just like stuck half of her body out the window?
To get away. Like, I guess she was like,
oh, she's like, I don't want to hear the barf.
Like, yeah. But the barf was outside the car, she said. I mean, I guess she got a little in her hair, but I mean, come on, girl. You did a good job. You got it outside the car. That is all anyone can ask for.
Exactly.
This was so ridiculous. And between her madness and our Uber driver shouting about puke fees, I was ready to get out. Luckily, we didn't have far to go and arrived at Jen's apartment. Now we had a new problem because neither one of us could remember the code to get into her apartment. Oh, no.
Jen shut it down for those two girls.
Jen was like, get out of here, you drunkies. Get in the car and go home.
Jen bounced them out of her own birthday.
Get on out of here. Okay. I mean, it was probably a good call because if they would have kept going, who knows what would have happened. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe it was a Parent Trap thing where she was like, you girls are going to bond over this.
Yeah. And she was hoping. She was like, oh, yeah, that's never a good idea. Nope. Don't send the two drunk people that hate each other together. That's like a terrible idea. After fumbling and arguing for a few minutes, Jill finally called Jen and got the code. And the second we stepped into the apartment, I threw up again all over the floor. Jill screamed and pushed me outside and locked the door.
What a jerk.
Oh my God. So now you've thrown up and now you're
Jill
pushed out of the apartment.
The shots.
Jill. Jill, that is not cool.
So now you're locked out puking?
Now you're locked out. You have puked. Like, I was so embarrassed and pissed. What kind of person leaves someone outside who's sick? Luckily, I had heard the code and I was able to get back into the apartment. I was so sick and exhausted. I'm not a big drinker, and Jill was the one who ordered the shots in the first place. I cleaned up all the puke and then I passed out on the couch. Jill left before I woke up the next morning. When I woke up, there was puke all over my favorite coat and my dress, in my hair, and some on the couch. I've never felt so sick in my entire life. I cleaned up everything and I profusely apologized to Jen. I ended up having to throw out my favorite coat in a dumpster on the way out. It was faux fur and impossible to clean, but thankfully I was able to wash and salvage my expensive hair extensions. All right, that's good.
Yes. Okay, good. That's good. That is a good salvage.
I was so embarrassed that I was the sloppy drunk girl, and I am not looking forward to the wedding and having to see Jill again. Oh my God, the wedding hasn't even happened yet. She's got to go
back to
it.
Hopefully Jill got demoted from her contribution to this whole situation. Jill's like, I'm troublemaker.
Jill, you're trash. Jill, if you hear this, you're a trash girl.
You make me want to barf.
I mean, I have been the puke girl so many times that I feel bad for her because, like, I'm the friend, like, you want the friend that's going to hold your hair. And granted, they're not friends. They're friends by association. But even still, like, if I see someone who's sick, even if I don't know them that well, if you're my friend's friend, I'm going to help you.
Of course.
I'm not going to push you outside and lock you out of the house.
That takes a special person to do that.
Chill.
That's not good.
I'm siding with the drunkie on this one.
Well, yeah, me too. What's Chill going to do? Go watch TV?
And that already is embarrassing. It's humiliating. You're already mortified. You feel like you ruined your friend's bachelorette party. You, like, vomited everywhere.
Yeah.
Chill, you started it with the tequila.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is embarrassing though.
Sorry, Monica. Monica, you didn't deserve
that. You could come to my wedding.
Girl.
We're not going to be drinking.
You already got married.
I know. We'll get married again for you,
Monica. I will get married twice just so you can come.
That's
you don't have to drink tequila.
I don't even know you and I'll get married again.
Right?
So you can have a better experience.
Exactly.
Oh, that sucks. Jill, you know what? You missed an opportunity. You missed a moment.
Yeah, Jill.
You know?
Yep.
Let's get better. Let's do better.
Let's be a better person, Jill. Next time someone's puking, be nice to them, okay? Like, I get it. Maybe it's kind of gross. Maybe you don't want it on you, but, like, don't, like, be rude to them,
yeah,
you know?
Maybe not four tequila shots
Offer
rounds.
Them water.
Yeah.
Hold their hair back. Mm-hmm.
Tell, like, them a joke. Make them laugh a little bit, maybe.
If you want to go that extra mile, help them clean it.
Like, come out of the bathroom, like, with a garbage bag with two eye holes cut out and be like, whoa, am I going to need this? You know what I mean? Like, make them feel good.
You know, that's what you should have done. Be a trash bag ghost for her, and you weren't.
All right, so this one is from Alex, who I met at a dinner party recently, who told me I could use his story. He was asleep at a girl's house who he really liked, and they'd been dating for a while, and he really liked staying over, and things were getting comfortable enough for him to start leaving things at her place. It was like the early days. And he felt like he could tell her anything except that he was a sleepwalker.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Have you ever sleptwalked?
I did when I was starting to wait tables. I would wake up waiting on tables.
Oh,
but I never, like,
so
went
traumatic.
Walking. You know, did you?
No, thank God. But like, I know people who have been sleepwalkers and it's so scary. Yeah. Like they don't like, and you're like not supposed to wake them up. Like sometimes they rearrange things in their house or they're just like eating things in the fridge or just and not even knowing what they're doing.
Like they think someone broke in the next day, but it was like just them sleepwalking
sometimes
and eating.
Sometimes people leave the house, which is so dangerous. Yeah, that's
well,
scary.
Well, he did that. So Alex woke up on the subway platform in New York, like at a bench and was like, oh, how'd I get here? Like
that kind of sleepwalking. Terrifying. Yeah. Yeah, that's terrifying.
It is. But I mean, you know, you should probably tell someone that just in case if you're sleeping next to them. But I
guess.
Yeah,
you do kind of have to break that news. Yeah.
So he said he woke up running a bath once. He woke up face down in his front yard once.
What?
Which is like so funny for some reason.
Like walking by to see that, like in the middle of the night, like just a dude, like, well, you just think they're drunk and like passed out. Yeah.
He was just asleep. Okay. So one night they'd been out with friends and had a few drinks and went back to her place and had fallen asleep and they cuddled and they whispered, I love you for the first time that night, right? Just cuddling, so cute. It was magic. And the next thing he remembers is being woken up by her because he was standing in the corner of her bedroom peeing on her carpet.
Oh.
And she kept saying, Alex, wake up. You're peeing on my rug. You're in my room, Alex. This is not the bathroom, Alex. Alex, you're peeing on my guitar, Alex. Literally peed on her guitar. So I guess he woke up and was just like, no. No. And
okay, she's like, this happened to me. This happened to me. Like, not to me, but like, I was dating a guy. No, I was dating a guy and I woke up to him peeing on the end of my bed.
No,
he was peeing on the end of my bed. Like,
because he was so drunk.
I think because he was drunk. Yeah. I'm like, what? Or was he a sleepwalker? Is that better?
He's probably asleep. But did you have to wake him up?
I literally forgot about that until you just told me this story. That was my early 20s. It was a guy. I was like,
Yeah, we worked with someone at,
And he peed on the end of my bed and I had to wake him up and I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. This is not the bathroom. Yeah, no. He was like, what? Yeah, I think he was drunk though.
And the more and more, well, I mean, and this could be maybe a couple of drinks.
Wait, they were drinking too. Yeah,
they've been drinking and I think maybe he was half awake. But I mean, he is a sleepwalker.
It was a drunken / sleepwalk.
It was a drunken walk.
No, that's so mortifying. Like, you just said, I love you. You've had this amazing magical night and you wake up peeing on her guitar and in her corner of her bedroom.
And you can never like really cuddle the same way again, you know? But I guess they're still together. So,
That's a good recovery.
Yeah.
That's a good recovery. That's so embarrassing.
For both of them, probably.
Yeah.
Beat red for both of them. You know what I mean? Because think about her. She wakes up and she's like, what the? And then just pee in her guitar, like on the ground, on her rugs, everything.
No.
And he's just like, doesn't stop. It's just like endless stream.
No.
Yep.
Wait, so what happened after that?
So they stayed together and
how did he recover from that? Like, what did he finally, did
he said he
was
he
it
said
weird
he was,
when he woke up?
He said he woke up and he was just mortified. He's like, he kept saying like, this is the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she was like, it's okay. It's fine.
I did not continue dating the guy that that was the last time I saw it.
Really?
Yes. That was it for me. That was a deal breaker. I was like,
you were done.
I mean, it was not a serious thing anyway.
Oh,
and
it's
that was
different.
That
you know
was
what I mean?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The night takes a turn.
That was that. We were not in love. That was not.
Maybe if they hadn't have said I loved you, they would have never made it. Who knows?
I literally forgot about that story. That's so funny.
I'm telling you, it's more common than you think.
Yeah. I mean, I knew a guy in high school. I remember he used to get so wasted, but he was so drunk. Like, that's what it was. But he would always be his pants or just be like pissing in the corner of like wherever we were, like house party. Like, yeah, because he would get so drunk that he would end up like.
Does he just think it's the bathroom though? Just wandering to the corner?
I think they were just so out of it. Or like maybe he like lost control at that point, like of his bowels.
That's,
I don't know, but
sad.
Like, or no, bowels is
a first pooping. Maybe he pooped. Maybe he pooped at the same
lost
time.
Lost control of his urinary tract.
Yeah. So I think it's more common than you. So you know what? That's out there now. Like, people do that.
People do that.
It's
people pee on beds and in corners.
I mean, for him, I think it was a sleepwalking thing.
I'm going to tell one of mine, actually.
Yay, okay.
I got one more of mine because another story sparked another story for me. So I'll tell this one. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
So this was, I want to say it's like 2002-ish, Los Angeles.
Early on.
All right. It is my birthday. I know that for sure.
Oh.
Kristen, you've heard about before.
Yes.
My old roommate and best friend. We were pre-gaming at our apartment because that's what you do. You got to save your money on, save your monies on the alcohol.
Yep.
So we'd been pre-gaming. I was dating a guy. It was like kind of newer. We'll call him Greg. And I... you know, he said he was going to come out for my birthday. We plan on going to the club. I don't remember which one it was at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
It was in Hollywood. I know that. I want to say it was maybe Ivar, maybe Vineland. We were frequenting those at that time. Yeah, okay. We used to go to Ivar all the time. I want to say maybe it was Ivar. Anyway, we got there probably like 10 o'clock. We met some other people there. I had some other friends come. People were buying me shots, as we've already discussed.
Oh, no.
Shots.
Jill.
Are never a good idea. Jill was there. Jill was buying me shots. Jill, I mean, Jill just shoved tequila down my throat. And it was, it got ugly. So at this point, I'm hot. I'm sweaty. The guy I'm dating is not there. I'm like, where is this guy? But I was also like dancing and having fun and like, whatever, who cares? You know, I wasn't like in love with him. we were newly dating. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, let me go outside. It's hot. Like, I'm sweaty. I'm dizzy. Like, and I was a runner too, as we've already discussed. I was a drunken runner. So Kristen had to keep a really close eye on me because I would just be like off, like doing whatever. Like, she wouldn't be able to find me. So she came with me. We go outside and I get like probably like just a few steps out of the club. And I am vomiting everywhere, all over the sidewalk, everywhere. I remember what I was wearing too. Okay, this was so hideous. We always have to talk about what I'm wearing from the 2000s because it was so bad. And I like remember all my outfits. So this was my party dress, quote unquote, that I had bought. And I was so excited about. It was black and white pinstripe, hideous, with a like red tulle coming out of the bottom. Had like a hideous, massive red flower, like asymmetrical on the side of like the hip, right?
Just a dancing school.
And it had like the ruched like crisscross top, just hideous, right? Like this
sounds good.
It's bad. It's real bad, right? And I was like, I look so good. Had my little like pearls snapped in my hair.
Yes.
I've probably now got puke on my dress. So I have like vomited all over the sidewalk. But now I feel great because I've puked. And I was a constant puker, so it was like not a big deal. So she held my hair back. Like, I whip myself around. I am ready for round two. I am so excited. And I whirl around ready to go back in the club and come face to face with the guy that I have been dating who has finally showed up. And his mouth is open. He's witnessed the whole thing.
Oh, no.
But I am just, you know, in my drunken state, I'm not ashamed. I am so unashamed that I shout his name. I'm like, Greg, you're here. Like, throw my arms up, throw them around him, try to kiss him. He is like,
He's like, I saw you red carpet barf.
I just watched you projectile vomit. Like, no, thank you. I don't want your tongue down my throat right now. Gross. So he like politely pushes me away and is like, no. And I was so offended in my drunken state.
You got pissed.
I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't connect those dots. And I was just like, how dare you? Like, look at my hot little party dress. How dare you reject me? Right. So we get into a fight. He leaves. Like, I'm like, whatever. I go back and dance with Krista, whatever. The next day, I wake up and I am mortified because I've realized what I've done. And I'm like, of course, I wouldn't want to make out with somebody who I just watched projectile vomit. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's just at the time, like, you're not logical when you're drinking. You don't really
No one had a toothbrush. You couldn't just go like,
take a minute. Look, gross.
Yeah. Gross.
Didn't make sense of it. Mm-mm. We didn't work out.
That didn't happen.
We didn't work out for other reasons, but we did date a little bit after that. He was an okay guy. He was all right, but yeah.
Did you call him and say like, I'm so sorry? Like, whoa. I
wasn't really my vibe back then.
You're just like, cut
I wasn't
and
big
run,
on apologies
baby.
At the time. Yeah, I've learned the error of my ways. I have accepted my truth. But back then in my early 20s, I wasn't really like sorry kind of girl. I was more like, all right, this is done. That's over
like,
with.
He's not gonna kiss me. He's done.
You know what?
You just like edited your own.
I'm gross. You're gross. We're done. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. I don't think I did apologize. Maybe I apologized. I doubt it.
Well,
I didn't make a
cool
lot
about
of apologies
that too. In a weird
then.
Way, there is. There's something cool about like, you know what? I'm throwing up. You're not gonna make out with me, and I'm not apologizing.
No,
I'm
it was not cool.
Out.
There was no cool part. There was. Thanks for trying to salvage that. I fully own what a trash bag child I was at that point. What a little trash bag baby I was. Like, I really was. I was the grossest, right?
No.
I was not. It was not cool. I needed therapy, which I got after that. But you
that's
know,
good.
I needed therapy.
Well, you know, that's something too, though, that when you're, you know, when you're a kid and you're just newly in a new city, especially LA, how many people have had that happen where they just like go crazy a little bit and they just
oh no,
they
I
find
was crazy
their limits.
Before that. I wanna formally apologize to all of my ex-boyfriends.
Okay.
All of my ex-boyfriends that I never apologized to. I want to formally apologize to you now. Please accept this universal apology.
Oh, that's great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take it Or leave it. No, I think I need some amends, but yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You learn. You learn and you grow. Yeah. You get your therapy. You become sober if you, you know.
And then you make a podcast where you get to tell these stories.
And you make a podcast where you embarrass yourself shamelessly.
You just.
For all the world to hear.
Beat red and no one can see it.
And no, I am not beat red anymore.
No way.
These are all the times we turned beat red and just those flushes. You know that feeling where you recall, I mean, for me, I was a blackout drinker. So the next day when those flashes would come and I would feel those pangs of just guilt and shame and carry that with me for so long of, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And you like have those, you know, flashbacks.
Yeah.
It's now we can just talk about it.
Yeah. It's well, I mean,
it's freeing.
As part of it is just like, that's why we're doing this, because it's just, you can say out loud what you felt embarrassed about, and then, you know, it's not so bad when you think about
it. Exactly. If you've got a puke story, please email us at beredpodcast@gmail.com. That's our show today.
That's our show.
I hope you enjoyed it. Seriously, though, if you do have a funny story or embarrassing story that you would love to share with us, it can be completely anonymous. You can create a fake email. Send us an email at beredpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear and share your story. It is a very cathartic thing to be able to share that and to realize how many people have gone through what you've gone through.
Yeah.
And you don't have to carry this shame around with you. You can talk about it. You can laugh about it. You can just
entertain with it.
Yes. Use it to entertain yourself, to entertain us, to entertain everyone out there that's listening. We appreciate you.
Aww.
And we hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.
Yay. Okay. Thanks for listening. And if you loved our show, please tell a friend and rate, review, and subscribe, please. That helps us move up in the charts.
Yes, please. Yay. Do that. That helps us so much. We appreciate you.
If you can't beat them, join them.